Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 23, please. Luke 23, a well-known portion of Scripture. We're going to read from verse 32. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32, please. I'll give you a moment or two to find it. Luke 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Please keep your Bibles open this evening. We're going to look at this passage here just a little bit and a few other passages as well. But please keep your Bibles open as we look at the Word of God. Very simply, the title this evening is Just in the Nick of Time. We have in our reading before us this evening, just by way of introduction, three very simple things. First of all, we have the story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner. Look at the passage once again. Look at verse 32. And it says, And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Here we have before us this evening a picture of three crosses. And the center cross is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, the one who even the malefactor, the thief himself, confessed, this man has done nothing amiss. He was innocent, he was sinless, and yet he was in the center cross, dying for the sins of the world. On either side of the Lord Jesus, we have two crosses. And here we have, it's mentioned in verse 32 and 33, they were malefactors, they were criminals. They were people who had broken the laws of the land. And as one thief confessed himself, in verse 41 he says, And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man confessed he had done wrong, and he deserved to be punished for the wrong that he had done, and so did the other one as well. So the picture we have before us, Christ is on the center cross, suffering and dying and shedding his precious blood for the sins of the world. On the other side, we have thieves, we have criminals, we have people who deserve to be punished for their sins, for the wrong that they have done. Friends, in our story, we find out as we go along that the thief on one side of the Lord Jesus gets saved. It's a story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. He confessed his sin in verse 41. He says, I deserve to be punished because of the wrong that I've done. But it's the story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner. This man on down in verse 30 or 42 said, "Jesus, the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." We're going to look at that in a moment or two. But this man gets saved. This man comes to know Jesus Christ as his very own personal Savior. What an encouragement that is this evening. To know that that criminals, people who have done wrong, like every single one of us here tonight have done wrong, but people who have went to the extreme in doing wrong, even those people can be saved. What an encouragement. We have not only the story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner, but we have here before us the story of the salvation of a man who was about to die. This man was saved with perhaps maybe a few hours to live, maybe even only a few minutes to live. Get the picture in your mind this evening. Here was a man who got saved just in time. One commentator has said these words, and I'm going to read them. "As long as there is life, there's hope. As long as they can repent and turn to the Savior and trust Him, they can be saved." What an encouragement this evening. As long as there's life, there's hope. As long as they can repent of their sin and turn and trust the Savior, people can be saved. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, we read well-known verses. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his own way." And it goes on to say, "For he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon." What a solemn thing it is to be so near to death, and yet not to be saved. So near to eternity, and yet not to know that your sins are forgiven. So near to being left, being gone out of this world completely. And yet not to know from the depths of your hearts where you're going. What a solemn thing. I know all of you here this evening, at least I think I do, maybe there's one or two I'm not so sure of this evening. But where do you stand as far as salvation is concerned? Are you a child of God this evening? Have you repented of your sin like the thief on the cross did many, many years ago? Just before he left this scene of time, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. We have the story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner, a man who was about to die, but we also have this story of the salvation of a man that's so definite, it's so certain here. Turn to Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verses 41 to 44. We have still the picture of the three crosses, Christ on the center cross, and the malefactors, the criminals on either side, and so on. Verse 41 says, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save, if he be the king of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Verse 44 is important. It says, "The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Here we have the picture of Christ on the center cross. As I've said before, suffering for the sins of the world. Two thieves were mocking him. They were making fun of him. They were calling out to him. It was an absolute disgrace what was happening. The thieves cast the same in his teeth. They were making fun of the Lord Jesus. And then in a moment of time, just in a moment of time, something wonderful happened. This thief beside the Lord Jesus turned to him. And in verse 42, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The thief turned from his sin And in a moment of time, he recognized who Jesus Christ was. He recognized he was the Son of God. We'll come to it in a moment or two. And he believed with all of his heart that Christ was dying on the center cross for his sins. And in a moment of time, he came and by faith, he put his trust in Christ. And he was forgiven. He was forgiven. The story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner, a man who was about to die, and yet a man whose salvation is so definite here, he got saved just in the nick of time. Just before he went into eternity, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Friends, this evening there's three things I want to say about the urgent request of the man in verse 42. And then there's three things, very simple things that I want to say about the immediate response of the Lord Jesus. First of all, the urgent request of the man. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The first thing we see is this, that the thief on the cross believed in life after death. Look what he says in verse 42. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man believed that Jesus had a kingdom, and he was right. The Lord Jesus in John 18 and 36 himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. So the thief was right, the Lord had a kingdom. And he said in verse 42, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. One commentator has said this here, this man did not believe that we go out like the snuff of a candle, and that's it. He believed that there was life after death. Turn with me, please, to Luke 16, please. Let's see what God's word says about life after death. Is there life after death? There's the great eternity. What happens when it comes to eternity? Luke chapter 16, please, and verse 19. Well-known story, the Bible says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22 says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his voice, or up his eyes, being in torments. And saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? Is there life after death? Absolutely. Here we have this story in Luke 19 of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had everything that this world could offer him. He had everything that he would ever need for this life. But he wasn't prepared for eternity. We're not going to go into it this evening. Lazarus, we're told that when he died, was carried by the angels into glory. Carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Lazarus, when he died, went home to be with the Lord. Sheila Collin this afternoon went home to be with the Lord. Emma Porter this morning went home to be with the Lord. Billy Armstrong just a week or two ago went home to be with the Lord. They're in eternity, and it's real. It's real. Friends, this evening, have you ever thought about life after death? Have you ever thought about where you're going to spend eternity? It's a solemn thought, isn't it? It's a very important thought. But not only that, friends, it's essential to make preparation, isn't it? The rich man found that out too late. We're told in Luke 16 that in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He was lost, and he's lost forever. The rich man is still in hell, and he's still in torments, and he's still suffering, and he will suffer for all of eternity. What a solemn thought this evening. Maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight and you're not a child of God, you're not saved. Maybe there's someone here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never turned in repentance and faith and put your trust in Him. You've never believed that He died on the cross for you, that He shed His precious blood for you, and you've never come and asked Him to forgive you for your sins and to be your Savior and to be your friend. Friends, the urgent request of the man, this man believed in life after death. Not only does the request show that he believed in life after death, but friends, this man recognized and acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. How did he do that? How did it all happen, friends? Well, if we were to turn, and we'll have time to do it this evening, if we were to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, we would read that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. No man can come to faith in Christ unless the Holy Spirit of God Himself, the third person of the Trinity, does a work in his or her heart and life. This man, friends, let me make it very simple. This man was brought in a moment of time under conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit of God. His blinded eyes were opened to see three things. First of all, to see his great need, that he was a sinner and he was on his way to hell. And secondly, the Holy Spirit brought him to realize that the man in the center cross was the Son of God and he was dying for his sins, as well as the sins of the whole world. And thirdly, friends, this man was not only brought under conviction and brought to realize these things, but friends, this man was brought to realize that Christ had the power to save him. Christ had the power to forgive him. Christ had the power to cleanse him and to make him fit for heaven. Here was a man, friends, the urgent request that he had, he believed in life after death. It's very clear that it shows it. Secondly, he realized and he acknowledged Jesus as Lord. He was brought under conviction of sin. He was brought to that point in his life where he realized he needed Christ. Needed Christ as his Savior. Wonders there's someone here tonight and you're not saved. Someone here tonight and you think you're a Christian, but you're not 100% sure. Why not be sure tonight? Why not come by simple faith? We're going to see it in a moment or two. Come by simple faith and believe that Christ died for you. Believe that he shed his precious blood for you. Come and tell him you're sorry for your sins and put your trust in him. Know what it is to have your sins forgiven. Know what it is to have that assurance in your heart and in your life. That peace of God which passes all understanding, to know that you're going to heaven someday. Friends, it's a wonderful assurance, wonderful peace. Wonders there's someone here tonight, you haven't got that peace. You can have it tonight if you come by faith and put your trust in him. The urgent request of the man, he believed in life after death. He recognized and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And then the request shows that he asked the Lord Jesus to forgive him. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man didn't need to say anything else. When he said those words, Lord, remember me, the Lord knew what he was talking about. The Lord knew this man's heart. The Lord knew exactly what this man was saying. He was saying, Lord, I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done. I deserve to be punished for my sin, but I'm sorry for it, and I believe that you're dying for me. And he was asking the Lord Jesus to forgive him and to cleanse him and to be his Savior and to be his friend. Friends, this evening the Lord knows your heart and he knows mine as well. Knows all of our hearts this evening. Here was a man and He didn't need to say anything else. The way of salvation is so simple. Romans 10 and 13, what does it say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What was this man doing? He was calling upon the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Wonder you here tonight, you're not saved. I know the majority, 99% of you is here tonight, and I know you are saved, but there's one or two that I'm not too familiar with. Are you a Christian tonight? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you have peace with God? Do you have that assurance in your heart and in your life that you're going to heaven? And that nothing's ever going to separate you from God's wonderful love. It's the urgent request of the man. Let's see the immediate response of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 43, please. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today, the Lord Jesus says, shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord said three very simple things, but three very definite things, three very certain things to the thief on the cross. First of all, he said this. He says, thou shalt be in paradise. Look at verse 43. Thou shalt be in paradise. The word paradise, friends, speaks of a beautiful place, doesn't it? If you were to look on the television and they were to talk about paradise, you know, maybe one of those far-off islands across the world where the sun shines and it's absolutely beautiful and so on. That's the sort of picture when you think of paradise. In John 14, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, whenever I think of a mansion, and paradise is far, far more than a mansion, but whenever I think of a mansion, I think of a beautiful home. Massive, absolutely gorgeous on the outside, on the inside. Not a thing wrong with it. Absolutely beautiful in every single detail. Everything absolutely gorgeous. The Lord Jesus said to the thief on the cross, Thou shalt be in paradise. Friends, come back to Luke chapter 16 just for a moment. This man was going to paradise. Luke 16, we're going to read verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a picture we have here. Lazarus, the one who had very little in life, the one who was fed with the very crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, he was carried into glory. Carried into paradise, you would say. He's with the Lord today. And those of us who are saved, we're going to meet him someday. We're going to be with him in the glory as well. But the rich man died and he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a picture we have here. The urgent request of the man. Here we have the immediate response of the Lord Jesus. Today, or he just says, thou shalt be in paradise. The man knew that he was going to glory. The man knew that wherever Christ was going, he was going to be there as well. He took the Lord Jesus at his word. He believed every single thing that Christ said. Let me pause for a moment this evening. What a blessing it is to know that you're saved. You're going to glory, isn't it? Sheila's gone home earlier on this week. Emma's gone home this morning to glory. Billy's gone home. My dad went home 35 years ago. But what a blessing it is to know that we're going home to glory someday. Oh, yes, we're enjoying ourselves in this world. There's no doubt about it. But one day we're going to leave this sinful world and we're going to go to be with the Lord and we're going to be with him for all of eternity. And the scriptures talk a little about heaven. We're not getting into that this evening. We haven't got the time, but it's going to be absolutely fantastic. What a blessing, what an encouragement it is to know that you're saved, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you're going to glory, to know that nothing can ever separate you or I from God's wonderful love if we've put our trust in the Lord Jesus. Friends, I believe with all of my heart that the thief on the cross who put his trust in Christ, the last moments, perhaps the last minutes, maybe even the last few hours of his life, this man had the peace of God in his heart and his life, the peace that passes all understanding. This man knew he was saved. This man knew he was going to glory. This man knew he was going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Here we have the immediate response of the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt be in paradise." But the Lord goes on to say in verse 43, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." What was the Lord saying here? Imagine the robber with the Redeemer. Imagine the one who was a sinner was going to be with the one who died for sinners on the cross. I'm going to pause for a moment here this evening. This man didn't deserve to get saved. This man didn't deserve to have his sins forgiven. This man didn't deserve to get right with God. This man was a malefactor. He was a criminal. He had broken the laws of the land. He had done terrible things. And this man didn't deserve to get saved. But that's grace, isn't it? That's grace. That's God's grace. There's not one of us here tonight who deserved to be saved. Not one of us here tonight who deserved to be going to glory. We all deserve to be lost and lost forever. But God loved us, didn't he? He sent his Son to die for us. And the Lord Jesus has taken our place on the cross. And he has taken our punishment on the cross. And he has paid the price that we could never pay. And we're here tonight as the recipients of God's grace, God's riches, at Christ's expense. Oh, friends, this evening, thank God if you're saved. Thank God for his grace and his goodness in your life. Thank God for lifting you out of the miry clay and for setting your feet in the rock, Christ Jesus. Thank God for all that he's done in your life if you're a child of God this evening. The Lord Jesus said to this penitent thief, he said, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, it talks about being forever with the Lord. And that's the hymn we're going to sing in a few moments' time. But to be forever with the Lord, what does it really mean? It means to be in glory for all of eternity. It means that there's going to be no more suffering, no more crying, no more tears, no more heartache, no more anything like that at all. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Here was a man who probably for a good bit of his life had made a mess of his life. Made a real jack of his life, you could say. But he was saved just in time. Came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior just in time, brought under conviction of sin, brought to the foot of the cross, brought to the Savior just in time. The Lord Jesus said to this man, "Thou shalt be in paradise." The Lord Jesus said to this man, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." In verse 43, the Lord Jesus says, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." In a few hours, perhaps even a few minutes' time it might have been, the thief on the cross was going to be physically dead. His breath was going to be gone. He was going to be deceased. His life on this earth was going to be over. And yet, just before that happened, this man had come to know the Savior. When his life it was over in this earth, what happened with his life? Friends, he was dead, he was deceased, but right away in the twinkling of an eye, at the click of a finger, he was absent from the body. And he was present with the Lord. What a picture. As soon as his breath was gone, as soon as his life and his earth was over, he was with the Lord. His soul went to be with the Lord, and with the Lord for all of eternity. Friends, it was read at the funeral service this afternoon. I'm going to say it. I had already planned to say it now. God's word teaches us very, very clearly in two different passages that behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Are you here tonight and you're a Christian? Thank God for your salvation. Are you here tonight and you're not saved? What's holding you back? Have you never put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you never believed that he died on the cross for you? Have you never believed that he shed his precious blood for you? Have you never believed that he rose again and lives today for you? Why not come tonight and put your trust in him? This man with perhaps hours, perhaps just minutes to live, this man came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It's the story of the salvation of a man who was a sinner, who acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Friends, we have the urgent request of the man. Believed in life after death, didn't I? And he was right, because there is life after death. We're only here for a lot of years, and then we're gone. We're into the great eternity. And the question I want to leave with you tonight is this: where will you spend eternity? Now is the accepted time. If you want to get saved, don't wait till tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.